No, just obviously disappointed in the game. You know, trying to make some improvements in some areas, and we made some gradual improvement in the first half. Starting better, just having a fighting chance in the first half. You know, we had some injuries. We lost a guard in Vivens, and then obviously Clay got hurt in the first half. Braden Fowler, Nicolosi had to come in, and really felt at halftime if we could rally, we could really make it a game and be able to compete and win in the second half. And obviously we didn't make the fourth down, and I felt like we could get a yard there, you know, and then our defense couldn't hold them there after we turned the ball over there. You know, where do we go? You know, we got to make each other accountable, go back to the practice field, and really just continue to improve and give ourselves a chance to produce on game day. And so that was my message to the players. You know, we got a bye week. Hopefully we can get some players back healthy. You know, the injuries we have had in the offensive line have really – they've really handcuffed us in what we can do. And so, you know, we'll try to get some of those guys back on the field. I haven't gotten any word on what Clay's status is. So, you know, time will tell on that. We should get some more information on him in the next few days.
Welcome into another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast, presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up. All right, another tough loss for CSU this weekend. It's late Sunday night. I just had an opportunity to rewatch the game. First things first, it was a really cool experience to be on the sidelines. Thank you to Ivaca TV for allowing me to cross something off my bucket list. That was awesome. Thank you to all of you guys for all the kind words about, you know, representing, you know, CSU and all of that. It definitely gave me a different perspective. It's a lot happening fast. I actually had to sprint 100 yards down the sideline before my first live bit. I was totally out of breath, so I'm sure I looked like a dork the first time I was on camera. But all things considered, I felt like I responded pretty well with the interviews. And it was just really cool. It was really fun to be down there. I'd love to be able to be a part of some more Ivaca broadcasts in the future. So we'll see what the future holds on that one. We obviously opened with some audio from Jay Norvell's intro statement during his presser there. The reason I played that, I thought he talked about a couple of key points, but I just felt like there were some really crucial turning points in this matchup, which turned it from, you know, a respectable game to just a blowout, a 41-10 loss at home. We'll talk about that. I'll give some takeaways, and then I'll give some final thoughts just on this schedule and really the season moving forward. Before we dive into all that, if my voice is a little hoarse, it's been a long weekend, a lot of time in the sun. I got to see the Stanley Cup on Friday over at Breckenridge Brewery. Shout out to our awesome partner, Breckenridge. You know how much we love them. Then, you know, the game on Saturday, all day in the sun. And then we had the DNVR tailgate and Broncos game tonight. Got to see a big Broncos win. That was always fun. It's great to have, you know, the home atmosphere be back. A little bit of a frustrating matchup, but came home, was still amped, so I figured I'd rewatch the game and get this podcast done. And honestly, late night, you know, tired is when I do my best work anyways, because I don't overthink as much. I don't know if it's clear based on my Twitter, but I'm a classic overthinker. But before we get into everything from this Sac State game, the NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlay. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts even bigger than ever, why would you want to bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on the stepped up same game parlay once per game day all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DNVR. Get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum and age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right. Before we talk about the game itself, I do need to get two things off my chest. I'm going to try not to rant or ramble too much here, but I want to start with just some really nasty behavior by a really, really small minority in the fan base. There were some people in the stands yelling, you know, curse words, trying to get into it with some CSU players. These were CSU fans, I mean, you know, getting into it with the players while they're trying to sing the alma mater song. And it's just absolutely pathetic. If you're going to do that shit, stay home. We don't want you. We don't want you in this fan base. That's just a line you can't cross. And what really bums me out is, according to a couple of people on Twitter, people I respect and trust, it's not even the first time that it's happened this season. If you want to curse up a storm about how frustrated you are with your friends, I get that. But, you know, yelling stuff at the players, you know, getting into it with them, that's not acceptable. It's really, really trashy behavior, and it reflects really poorly on us as a CSU community. We're better than that. And if you're in the stands and you see somebody pulling that crap, call them out on it. You know, I'm not saying get in a fist fight or anything like that. When I see people do that at stadiums, it's crazy. But, you know, don't let people act that way in our stadium. It's ridiculous, man. Absolutely ridiculous. But I'm going to move on because I'm getting heated, and I think everybody gets the point. And again, I understand it's a small minority here. You know, the loudest jerks always get the most attention. I know that. But that's just unacceptable. The other thing I want to talk about is just my frustration with the fact that, you know, back-to-back years, CSU has had an elite-level FCS team on the schedule. Ultimately, you got to win no matter who you're playing. I get it. I'm not making excuses. I made this same point when they announced it. I made this point in the summer. I made this point now. This isn't just because they lost. There truly is no... You gain nothing from this game if you're CSU. It's all risk, no reward. They're a tremendous football program. And again, you know, I understand some people are listening to this, they're going to say sour grapes. It is what it is. Sac State would legitimately beat three-fourths of the Mountain West. I don't even think it's that bold to say they could potentially win the conference. Now, some of that has to do with the fact that the Mountain West is pretty down bad this year, like really just not good. And even some of the top teams are struggling with injuries at the moment. But Sac State is really good. I had to do way more prep on them than I typically do with opposing teams just because, you know, for the TV broadcast, you have to have, you know, a 50-50 perspective, wanted to be able to talk about them, you know, if needed. And this is a group that's played a lot of football together, you know, going all the way back to 2019. That's huge. They're well-established. They're physical. They've got good athletes. And Troy Taylor is an innovative coach, man. I love seeing what he's doing for a program like Sacramento State. That's his, you know, community. It's awesome. I'll be shocked if somebody doesn't swoop him up very soon, though. He's a brilliant football coach, and Sacramento State was favored in this game for a reason. They came in with a ton of confidence, but the truth is, you know, like, even though they are a good football team, if you beat them, nobody's going to give you the credit you deserve. And when you lose, it feels a million times worse than if you lose to a G5. And I think that just has to do with how the country views it, and you get made fun of, and you can, you know, bring up all of this. You know, I can try and drill these points home and home and talk about how good of a program Sac State is and how good South Dakota State was last year, but it ultimately doesn't matter. It just feels terrible when you get punched in the teeth like this by a program that is supposed to be inferior, but in reality they're not. Like, I think Sac State is better than Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee looks pretty good now too. You know, they beat Miami today on the road. But, you know, losing big to Sac State, it just feels worse. And it has to do with perception because of FCS versus FBS. But again, you know, I come back to the point of why play this. The only FCS team that CSU should ever play is Greeley, and even then it shouldn't be all that often, you know, 2-3 times a decade, okay. playing a local team makes sense. Getting a massive paycheck from going on the road to play a P5 makes sense. Although, you know, you could argue the downside of that in a season that's only 12 games long as well. Playing teams like Montana, Montana State, Sacramento State, that doesn't make sense if you're CSU. It just doesn't. Like, you're going to lose a decent amount of times and you're going to get mocked for it. And even if you beat a really good, talented, you know, well-coached team, nobody's going to give you credit. You know, Troy Taylor, the Sac State head coach, got asked point blank before the matchup, if he were an FBS coach, would he want to schedule an FCS team? And, you know, he had to be careful with what he said, obviously, because, you know, he does coach an FCS team and they need those games. But he just kind of smirked and was like, I'd be careful who you schedule, that's for sure. So that's my two cents. Appreciate you guys letting me ramble. Again, this really is not trying to come off as sour grapes. I like this Sac State team a lot, have a lot of respect for them. But I don't understand. I don't understand why you play it, like, unless you just genuinely could not get any other game. But there's so many options. But let's move on. Let's talk about the game. Real quick, the most rewarding thing about DNVR is seeing the connections made through our listeners in this community. Green Mountain Dental is an OG partner of ours and a major Colorado sports fan. They've been a supporter of DNVR since the very beginning. We've had countless fans and our own staff convert to Green Mountain Dental and never look back. Located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver in Lakewood, CSU alum Dr. Ben and his team have you covered from general dentistry, like regular cleanings, orthodontics, such as removing those pesky wisdom teeth and everything in between. And what's cool is Green Mountain Dental actually has a few offers for the DNVR fam. If you tell the team that DNVR Sports sent you, you can get a $300 discount for a full orthodontics treatment for new patients. If you mention DNVR Sports, you can get a set of bleach trays, a $350 value, with a new patient cleaning exam and x-rays. Lastly, for all the hygienists out there, Green Mountain Dental is hiring. Full and part-time positions are available. They are willing to work with your schedule, as well as offering a great benefits package with healthcare and PTO. To make an appointment or find out more information, check out their website, greenmountaindentalgroup.com, today. Cool, cool, cool. All right, let's get into this matchup with Sacramento State. Obviously, another tough one, 41-10 loss on Ag Day. I remember when CSU was still undefeated in the orange and you felt invincible. That was a long time ago, though. You know, Jay kind of alluded to this in his intro presser in that audio that I played. I just felt like there were a couple of turning points. You know, you give up a touchdown early, but you respond with a field goal. And ultimately, you know, they ran it a couple times in the red zone after a shot play got them down the field. They're handicapped by this offensive line, guys. They're trying to alleviate some of the pressure. But after going down 14-3, CSU goes 3-and-out. And Clay Millen got sacked by Marte Mapu, really, really talented nickelback. And a gas defense has to go back on the field. They get it like in CSU territory after a 44-yard punt return. And it was just like everything compounded, you know, like you're down 14-3, then you go immediately go 3-and-out. You get sacked on 3rd-and-3. Your quarterback, Clay Millen, gets injured on the play. You punt. They have a massive return. And now your gas defense has to defend a short field. Two plays later, it's 21-3. You know, due to the struggles of this offense, as well as, you know, pretty inconsistent or, you know, really just poor special teams play, the defense has been put in a lot of bad spots this year, just time and time again. And it's not that they aren't, you know, without fault or, you know, aren't deserving of criticism at times too, but, you know, I think they've taken a lot of heat from the fans for some of the points that they've given up. And just, I mean, constantly teams are taking over at midfield or better. You know, a couple of times Sac State had the ball in CSU territory when they started, and you're not going to be able to win very often when your defense has to defend short fields that consistently. And then just kind of off of that, obviously Millen going down impacted the game as well. I did think Braden went in and did some nice things. I'll talk about that here momentarily, but it's the little swings in a game that ultimately break it open. And, you know, you get a big shot play and get into the red zone, and instead of scoring a touchdown, you have to kick a field goal. You know, after going down 14-3, you go 3-and-out. You know, you put your gas defense back on the field. You give up a big punt return. It just adds up. And then, you know, even after that, the Rams go 3-and-out on the first series with Braden Fowler, Nicolosi in there. The Hornets take over on their own 40 after another not-so-great punt. Jack Howell, though, he's able to get an interception. This guy just continues to ball out. 12 more tackles for him in this one. Another pick and a forced fumble. The TV angle didn't do the interception justice because you only see him kind of, when he's in position, make the play. But he covered a ton of ground to get in position. He read the quarterback all the way. You know, Dunaway's rolling out, trying to escape the pressure. Howell puts himself in position to make a play, and he does it. You know, we need more of that from the defense and some of these other guys. After that pick, though, the Rams get some, you know, life, and CSU takes advantage. You know, a massive shot play over the top. Braden Fowler Nicolosi, his first career touchdown pass, 52 yards to Torrey Horton. Beautiful throw, steps up in the pocket, you know, with it kind of collapsing around him, drops a dime. And at that point, you know, you're not feeling great, but you feel like you could still be in it. CSU does give up a field goal before the half. You know, again, you know, another small play that just kind of adds up. Instead of being down 11, you're down 14. But the Rams get a stop. You know, Sac State receives the ball in the second half. You get a stop. You've got a shot. You go for it on 4th-and-1. Unfortunately, Ajon Vivens fumbles. They take over at the CSU 32. Defense once again in a brutal spot, having to defend a short field. Sac State scores another touchdown. And from there, they pretty much just suffocated CSU. I mean, they had the ball the entire second half. So it was a tough one. I understand why fans are frustrated. But there's, you know, 4 or 5 key moments in this one that turn it from being a one-score game in the third quarter, or potentially, you know, a one-score game in the third quarter if CSU can go down the field and score there, you know, to a blowout loss. And that's just how football works. Sac State had a couple of breaks go their way for sure. You know, I felt like one of the pass interferences on third down was ridiculous. That kept a drive alive. They ultimately go down and score a touchdown on that one. That was the tipped ball interception too. So, or tipped ball touchdown that was nearly an interception. It was just one of those days though. You know, just felt like anything that could go Sac State's way did. And, you know, I don't know, Norvell said post-game, sometimes you got to create your own luck. A couple of more takeaways here. I understand why folks have been flustered with the offense. It's been not fun to watch. They're significantly handicapped with what they can do with the state of this offensive line. It was already a tough spot coming into the year. Injuries have made it even more challenging. They're trying to alleviate some pressure on these quarterbacks, especially in coverage scenarios. If you listen to the interview I had with Matt Mummy last week, you know, they talked about that a lot. They have to be able to do that. But they have not been able to run the football at all. They have no rushing touchdowns this year. You know, the quick game, the quick passing game, which is essentially an extension of the rushing attack in an offense like the air raid, that hasn't worked. You could see how frustrated the coaches are with that. You know, Norvell told me coming into the second half when I'm on the sideline, you know, that it's unacceptable to take losses in the quick game, and they're doing it consistently. So, I mean, they're trying, but it's kind of like a situation where there's only so much you can do if you can't pass protect and you can't create any traction in the run game, especially when they're in coverage, because then they're just going to get pressure and they're still going to be able to drop back. And it just puts you in a brutal spot. I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, it's up to these coaches to figure it out. But just being realistic about the situation, honestly, I don't know what they're supposed to do on the fly, especially with all these injuries and you're playing different groups every week. The bye week is obviously here at a much needed time. We'll see what happens with the quarterback situation. Clay couldn't throw without pain on the sideline. I was right there when that decision to go to Braden happened. You know, Braden's a solid athlete for sure. His escapability is a big reason why he shot up the depth chart. He obviously has a ton of arm talent. You know, whether it's him, you know, getting an opportunity to get more reps with the ones over these next couple of weeks, or Clay just getting a chance to be healthy, and for everyone, you know, to just get their mindset ready for what's going to be a really, really, really hostile environment, you know, in Reno for the conference opener. It's a big 2 weeks, you know. At this stage, I would say that the non-conference slate was significantly more challenging than most anticipated. The Mountain West slate looks a lot easier than most people thought as well. We'll see what happens. we're pretty much at the long-term view stage of this season. I mean, it's unlikely that the Rams are going to win six games, obviously. So really, it's about growth. I'm hopeful for some competitive showings throughout conference play. You know, it's a chance to build some momentum going into the next year. Norvell was able to do that in his first season at Nevada after starting 0-5. You know, see a similar situation with McElwain in his first year. He won the first game against CU. Then they lose six or seven straight. They're able to respond, win a couple at the end. Wyoming looks really tough. At least you get them at home. You know, Utah State, Hawaii, they've looked pretty bad. Boise State's struggling, so who knows there. San Jose State looks like they figured their stuff out. New Mexico looks a lot better. That's not a gimme. That is a realistic goal to keep the winning streak alive, especially because that's the season finale. Hopefully you're able to do some things well and we're able to see the offense click in a couple of different ways by then. But we shall see. A couple of guys are looking like all conference players right now. Torrey Horton, you know, Jack Howell, Mo Kamara, CJ Onyeki. Those guys have been great. Daquan Jackson had a great game today. He's been solid this year. Chiggy's been solid in coverage. I mean, it's not like guys, you know, have not flashed their talent, but you just need far more consistency. And they got to stop putting the defense in such bad positions. You need more consistency out of your special teams. Whether it's Morrow or David Bailey or, you know, Vivens, whoever it is, or one of the young guys, Jalen Thomas. You know, I thought he did some nice things as a receiver against Washington State. Then, you know, he didn't do much. I'm not sure if he was banged up or not. You know, they got to get it going out of the backfield, help these quarterbacks out. But until they get this O-line situation figured out, it's going to be tough. I mean, I have been told by some of these coaches that they like, you know, some of the young guys that they have on campus, but they're just not ready, you know, physically. We'll see. But I think everybody's pretty desperate for a win at this point. You know, a feel-good moment. You need those, even in rebuilding years. You know, you need those moments of where you break through and you just you get to see that the progress is working. You know, going back to the gym analogy, you gotta get those breakthroughs every now and then where it's hard to stick with it, and that's just human nature. And that goes, you know, for the guys in the locker room, but really the fans too. I mean, you see all the positives that the staff is doing. They're recruiting great. They have a track record of success. They've engaged the community in ways we haven't seen in forever. But, you know, it still matters. You know, you got to win. You got to get some results on the field, or ultimately all that other stuff, it just kind of, it rings hollow. You know, it just doesn't make the same impact. So we'll see. Again, I think it's about the long-term view at this point. Still very much believe in what this staff is capable of doing. And I think there's some talent on this team, but there's got to be a far more consistent effort in all three phases of the game. So that's all I have for this weekend. We'll have more content throughout the week. Got a couple of features ready to rock. I fell a little behind on some of the writing stuff just with all the TV prep I had to do, but I'm excited to get this stuff out for you. Again, much love to everyone. Shout out to Ivaca TV for letting me be on the broadcast. I appreciate both schools for giving me the opportunity as well. And I have a course shout out to all you. I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy the bye week, you know, nice mental reset. Maybe we'll still be talking CSU, but I think the bye week's probably good for all of us too. All right, that's all I've got. Much love, y'all. Peace.
With the cuff khakis, wearing graphic tees, feeling way too trendy. Raps that kill, oh, I'm deadly. Primed and ready like machetes at a deli in New Delhi. Feeling scummy like Martin Scorsese. Turn jam into jelly, then drink it like juice. But water's the truth, so I sip on that too. Skinny looking kid with no car keys, like the only thing I drive is RC RVs. Got the stash like Steve Harvey. Oh, I'm gnarly.